Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our text this morning are the first words of the gospel account. There Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So far, the sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would sanctify us, that you would set us apart for yourself, that we know of nothing to trust but you and the salvation that you have given us in Jesus Christ. Point us to that cross today, so that we know where our saltiness comes from. In Jesus' name, amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, the Dead Sea is probably the lowest place on the face of the earth that's not in the ocean. And it's full of very, very salty water, some of the saltiest in the world. As the water runs down from the Sea of Galilee up in the north, down the Jordan River, it picks up minerals as it moves along and it dumps them out into the Dead Sea. But there's no outlet to that place, to that rift valley. And so what happens is the sun beats on it and evaporates the water and concentrates the salt year after year. There's salt everywhere, a crust all around the Dead Sea. And for many centuries, people have been taking advantage of that and building salt pans, so shallow pools. They divert some of the water into the pool and they wall it off and let the sun evaporate the water, and then they gather up the salt. But it takes a little more work than in some other places in the world, because the minerals that are in the water are not just table salt like this, but you have lots of stuff like this, Epsom salts and other things. And only about 30% of what's there is useful as table salt. The rest of it isn't. And so they gather all of this together, the good salt and the stuff that really isn't salt, and they run cold water through it, and the regular salt is more soluble, so it dissolves out, and then they evaporate that salty water. And they purify the salt that way. But it wasn't always that way. They didn't always do that. In Jesus' day, they didn't purify the salt as much as we do. And so it was entirely possible that you could have a wagon load of salt, and if it rained on that salt, the table salt would dissolve away, and you'd be left with something that looked just like regular salt. They called it salt, but it was tasteless. And it had no use as a seasoning or as a preservative, no use as a disinfectant or as pay. You know, the Romans found salt to be so valuable for their soldiers that it was a part of their regular pay. That's where we get the word salary from. The salt that was tasteless was not worth hauling. And in fact, they would just dump it out on the roads. And it probably served some purpose to keep the weeds down, but not much. Jesus used this picture of tasteless salt to warn us of the implications of shrinking back from telling the world of God's blessings in Christ. A prime example of this is found in Peter. You remember, when Jesus asked him, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter, in his great confession, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." My, was Peter ever salty with those words. His words were God's word. His words were the words of everlasting life that Jesus had given to him, that word that had worked faith in his heart so that he knew of nothing to trust but Jesus. Those words that gave meaning and flavor to his life and preserved him to everlasting life, and us too, words worth more than gold. But then later we find Peter in the courtyard of the high priest, don't we? And he perceived that those around him might utter all kinds of evil against him falsely for Jesus' sake. And he was afraid. And he denied knowing Jesus. He became salt without saltiness. That is, until the Lord restored him later on. And we Christians are like Peter. We are the salty sinner saints of this world, confident in the strength of God's word, dispensing precious life-preserving wisdom from God, and often practically denying that we even know the man, standing silently while the world dies around us. Once again, this very morning, the Lord has come to us to restore us by the power of his forgiving word and with his body and blood given and shed for us. And thank God that the Lord does this. Thank God for this repeated grace that he gives to us. As we make our way through our day-to-day lives, we're awash with the good and the bad circumstances in life. Our emotions go up and down all over the place. At any given moment, it can be that we're well aware that we're salty Christians. I think this is most often the case when we're here listening to his word in this place together. When we're here, we remember the truth about Jesus our Lord. We remember that he's our Savior from sin. We reinforce each other as we hear the preaching of that word, as we recite the words in our liturgy, as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with one another, chock full of the gospel message, as we bow together at this table to receive Christ's body and blood given and shed as the price to buy us back from our sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. So when we ask ourselves, am I a salty Christian? Well, right now we say yes with an exclamation point. You believe. You trust Jesus for your life and salvation. You want people to know him. We want them to have salvation that's worth its salt. We want them to be preserved unto eternal life because that's what God wants. He wants all men to be saved, doesn't he say this? He wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We want to be the good seasoning in this world, which apart from Christ ultimately proves deadly bland one day after another, leading to the grave. But no, we have eternal life. That's the salt. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has the words of eternal life. Don't the scriptures put this before us time and again? Aren't we directed again to the waters of our baptism that have purified us in Christ? We know his words. We love God's word. We've come to believe and know that God forgives us. We know his goodness through this word. We long for it here. We share it where we can. We revel in it. Until we don't. That pile of tasteless salt remains after our baptism, after we've received faith. It has not gone away yet. That pile of tasteless salt is us too. Useless and worthless, like Peter denying Christ in the courtyard. How often do we not find ourselves corrupting ourselves and others instead of preserving? How often don't we find the Word of God too much trouble to read or hear, too boring, too bland, instead of valuing it as precious and worth every minute of our time to read it and hear it? How often don't the passing things of this world become more important to us than eternal things? Salty and tasteless. at the same time. This is how my heart is right now. I'm no different than Peter, and I suspect you feel the same way too about yourself. And so we cry out with Peter, God, help me. We cry out with Paul, who confessed these words, I do not understand my own actions. For if I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. Now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So while we sometimes see and feel so clearly that we are salty Christians, we also see at the same time that we're bland sinners. Every day our priorities get mixed up. Every day we fall into the pattern of this world and its behavior and its corruption. Every day we die a little more in the flesh. And every day, God comes to speak to us. And especially on this day, He comes to speak to us not with the condemnation that we deserve, but with the gracious forgiveness of all our sins that Christ won for us. So when we ask, how can I regain my saltiness? The answer is not found in us. It's not found in our efforts. Jesus tells us to despair of that idea. The answer is found in what God has declared to be true for us. He has named us as His own dear children for Jesus' sake. And why? Because Jesus lived as we ought to have lived, and He died as we should have died. He never sinned. He was salty through and through, pure and holy. And that cross that we remember, that cross is our only hope. And it's not a hope that's just wishful thinking either. There on that cross, He took upon Himself our sins, became the tasteless salt that we are by nature, fit only to be forsaken by God, and wasn't He? There on that cross, He covered you with His saltiness, preserving you for eternal life, making your life not just palatable, but eternal and filled with Christian joy. There He gave you something worth its salt, the body and blood of the one who is God and man, the only begotten Son of the Father, who paid fully for your sins and for my sins and the sins of the whole world. He declared us righteous in God's sight, forgiven and ready for heaven. So we are poor in spirit, as the Beatitudes remind us. It's so obvious, but God says that yours is the kingdom of heaven for Jesus' sake. When we're confronted by the deadness of our own sins and trespasses against the Almighty God, and we mourn over that, He comforts us with that sweet absolution that springs forth from our baptisms. When we know our powerlessness, and we see it every day, He gives us all things, and we are co-heirs with Christ. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness in our hearts and in the world around us, know this, you will be satisfied. God doesn't fail. He might be long in coming and carrying out His plans, but that's for our good and for the good of the people around us. God has forgiven us. This tasteless pile of salt is salty because of Him. All because of Him. And so we are merciful because God has filled us with His mercy. We are pure in heart because we've seen God. He comes to us again day after day to purify us and wash us clean and change our attitudes from selfishness to thankfulness, from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness and neighbor-centered darkness. He's given us the words of eternal life so that we can be the ultimate peacemakers, to bring the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to those around us so that they have it too, so that they know him as Christ, their Savior as well. But the world has never appreciated this. The tasteless salt of the sinful nature is in everyone, me and you included, and it does not appreciate this. There's nothing good in us of ourselves. Those who are poor in spirit, as it says, will be persecuted for righteousness' sake, because that old nature in us is so full of pride that it always rejects the truth, never wants to hear what Jesus has to say, hates him. That's right within our own hearts. We will be reviled and persecuted on account of him. But don't look back to the things of this world for reassurance, lest you be a pillar of tasteless salt. Look to God's promise. Flee to him. Great is your reward in heaven for speaking the truth in love, as the prophets of old did. Fellow redeemed, Jesus encourages you this day, not with powerless positive thinking or motivational speech or feel-good platitudes or any of that mumbo-jumbo. He tells you the truth. He never fails to tell you the truth. He calls us salty sinner saints, and he purifies us. He shows us our inability to save ourselves from being worthless, and he reassures us of his ability to save us and restore our saltiness and make us so valuable in the Father's sight. He shows us his ability to provide this dying world with the preservative that preserves to eternal life, the seasoning that makes life worth living. We're precious to him. Salt, light, and life to this world. May God restore us each day with his forgiveness. Wash us and purify us each day in our baptisms. Sprinkle us throughout the world to speak the truth in love. And may we remember all of this whenever we're sitting there at the table and look on this little shaker. We see God's wisdom pictured in the common and every day. You are the salt of the world. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.